Mom's Worst Day podcast is an avenue for mothers to share their stories, things that did not go quite as planned, and interesting trials that come with motherhood. The podcast aims to encourage and uplift women, ease the burden of their ever-present mom guilt, and to let them know that they are not alone. I'm your host, Nicole Chikwe, and welcome to Mom's Worst Day. You've got this, mama. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mom's Worst Day podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Chikwe, aka the most premium pie in Lagos. In the studio here with us is the incredible, stunning, talented Claire Ederanani. She's a designer and multimedia artist. She's beautiful inside and out, and she's married to actor and media personality Aka Nani. Welcome, Claire. Yay,
thank you.
Yeah, was you. Like, I was like, yeah, she's talented, she's beautiful inside and out. Yes. She's gorgeous, she's stunning.
Thank you.
This is our second time meeting. The first time was at
Alliance Frontier.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like an art exhibition.
Yes, it was.
So I'm not like an arty person at all, but my really good friend curated, and then in walks Claire, and she has like a really like interesting energy. She's
hair was even blonde. Your at hair the was time.
Exactly. Like, I was like, oh wow, you know, she's so beautiful, and she's like so like free spirited. It was really really nice. She was so kind, and I was like, wow, you know, I really enjoyed your energy. And now to see you as a mommy,
yes,
it's so exciting.
It's post-lockdown. You know, everyone was so busy during the lockdown. Mm-hmm, so, you know, that's what happened.
I know that's right. I know that. Yeah, babies have been booming this period. I mean, there's nothing else to do, but, you know, well done. Well done, and congratulations.
Thank you.
How have you been? How's the baby?
She's fine. It's a baby girl. Her name is Gabrielle.
Gabrielle.
She's
beautiful.
The most, like, she literally, my father-in-law will literally message me and be like, why does this child look like an advertisement baby? Like, she literally looks so cute.
Really?
Like, I'm this beautiful child's mother. I must be beautiful.
Oh my gosh, that is so beautiful. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear that. I mean, we are fans already. Whenever you're ready on Instagram, just bless us. Whenever you're ready, we'd love to see her. How old is she now?
She's 4 months. She was 4 months, I think, 3 days ago. Yeah.
Adorable.
She's 4 months.
Yeah, 4 months is a good time. Yeah, they're still so sweet. Their cries aren't as aggressive. You know,
this one's cry was aggressive from the start.
Oh.
Like, she doesn't start from 0 to 100. She starts at 100.
So okay.
It's like, hey, alarm, tring, 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 everybody run around, you know. So now I think it's just, I don't always want to hear her cry.
Right.
So I got a nanny and I'm just like, if she cries, I'm still running there because I'm like, oh my God, what's happening?
Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. There's just something in your brain, right?
Yeah.
That goes off, even if you know the child is not in danger. You know she's alive and she's fine.
Yeah.
But hearing them cry is very, I don't know, it just triggers something in you biologically, I think. How are you? Are you still breastfeeding, by the way?
So I'm doing both. From the start, I've always been doing both. So
okay, okay,
first
great.
Day, we weren't really sure what was happening because, I mean, it was quite difficult. The latch was painful and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think on the second day, the nurses were just like, if you're not going to be able to feed this child, maybe we should just do formula. So we've been doing both since then, yeah.
So how you, like, I was asking because I wanted to know how your boobs were feeling. Like, when I was a new mom, like, leaving the house, I'd have to time it because I'm like, oh, my boobs are killing.
No, it's not that bad, honestly. Okay. I think because I haven't really had a very healthy diet from the start. So I'm not always full.
Right.
And then I'm struggling with drinking water. So it's when I'm full, I'm like, okay, can I have the baby?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good. That's cool. What's the longest you've been away from the baby? Like, how long have you been out of the house? Like, what's the longest?
3 days.
3 days?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, but interestingly, she was literally like 5 minutes away from us. So I would pump and then just drop it by.
Fantastic.
You know, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Please get your life.
Honestly, if we could still travel everywhere, I would literally just drop her with my mom and run. Because I don't want to get to a point where I feel so attached and she's also so attached because I've seen my sister, you know, struggle with that, and I'm just like, with the type of work I have,
right,
I don't have that luxury. So we start small, you know, the distance.
But I agree. I think that's really helpful. Okay. Yes, I love it. I love it. Okay, fantastic. So I'm going to ask you about the conversation that you and Aka had.
Screaming. Oh my God.
So there's no way that wouldn't come up today. Okay. First of all, I wanted to thank you and him for having such an open and honest conversation and having the strength, right, to post a moment that was not so perfect, but it was an amazing depiction of how conversations in marriage should go or could go. I was very pleasantly surprised because, especially with social media, we tend to just put like all the glossy bits, you know, and no one wants to see like the hard, uncomfortable bits and the hard, uncomfortable conversations. So I was watching, I was screaming. I'm like, these guys are brave. But I think that it was really, really powerful. One, because it's a conversation that we should be having. Yeah. And two, because I thought it was a good example of how communication could go in marriage. I love that we were both, when I say we, I mean you and I, both trying to be respectful, but both still trying to get our points across. And I loved that Aka was, I felt like he was trying his best to understand. I don't think he quite got it at the time, but the man was trying. Yeah. You know, let's give him that. The man, he was trying. And you know, I was just there like, you know what, he's trying. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously a man that loves the hell out of his wife and loves the hell out of his baby and is like, I just want the best for her. So I applaud you both. Thank you so much. That was such an amazing and insightful conversation. So I wanted to ask, like, what informed your decision to film that conversation and post it?
First off, we didn't really notice that it was being filmed initially. So it was, quite spontaneous, let's just say it that way. So I can I have a channel, a YouTube channel for marriage, couple, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. What's
and
it so called?
It's called I Can Claire. Mm-hmm. And we also have that page on Instagram, I Can Claire. And I think at that point, we just felt like, I mean, honestly, this year, we just felt like we needed to move away from just, you know, cute photos and just be real. Because honestly, this marriage thing is quite difficult if you aren't seeing the good examples. You know, you just keep doing the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And so we realized that in this space as Black couples, it's just difficult to see people that look like us actually do marriage right. You know, we're always seeing, you know, marriages fail and, you know, and we just felt like we basically had to reform our mission, you know. Anyway, so at that point when the conversation was being had, we actually had tried to have a conversation the day before and something ridiculous happened. It was literally, we were almost shouting in the bathroom and for some reason, the glass of the bathroom just came shattering into tiny bits.
No.
At that point, there was blood. We were just like, oh shit. Literally going from shouting at each other, we were just like, oh my God, started removing glass from each other's bodies. And,
oh,
you know,
wow.
Yeah, it was that. And then we went from like shouting to hugging and crying and just be like, oh my God, are you okay? You
know? And so sorry to stop you there.
Yeah.
For those who don't or who haven't watched the conversation, it is on the Aka and Claire Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, is it on the YouTube
it's
as well?
No, it's just on,
the Instagram.
IGTV.
So please, you need to go and watch it on their IGTV. But the summary of the conversation was about breastfeeding.
Yes.
And Aka wanting Claire to build up her supply so that the baby would be able to have breast milk for a year exclusively, right?
Not,
pretty much?
Well, not really. It's
okay.
Just like he wants her to be able to have breast milk at least to 6 months. And then 6 months later, she can just have once in a while alongside.
Alongside formula.
Yeah,
so that's
solid
what.
Solid food, yeah.
Alongside solid food, sorry. So that's what the premise of the conversation was. And it was, so it's a back and forth regarding what could also work for Claire, because she'd been struggling in producing milk and all the stuff that comes to that. So yeah, so I just wanted to give the background for people who hadn't watched it. But make sure you listen, you need to watch it to understand what we are talking about. It's fantastic. But yeah, sorry.
So that day we just literally forgot the conversation, threw it away, and you know, moved on with the day, because I mean, something more serious. And then we actually now got that, you know, the situation of removing the glass and me cleaning his injury. We were at our manager's house, and so she was just like filming things randomly.
Wow.
So there is actually another video of me trying to clean Akka's feet, and he was just being super dramatic. So that's literally, will I say, pre-conversation to that one that we're talking about on IGTV. And so anyway, that once that we started talking about something, and then I had to bring up the conversation of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I was trying using every English in my vocabulary to explain this thing. And it's quite difficult, to be honest, for I get why he wouldn't understand, because his body is different, right? And he's never been a father before. He's read things. Akka is always reading things about motherhood. And I'm also always watching videos and reading things. So we're quite informed. And you know, when there are two people that are very informed, it's like, I know this thing can do. I know we can do this. Mm-hmm, I know, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and at that point, I was just like, even if I wanted to, my body is saying something different, you know. And I think, honestly, he got it that day when we had the conversation. Because from that moment, he never really said anything about breast milk.
Right.
From that day. Not because he was being dragged on social media, but just because he was just like, actually, this thing is really stressing this babe. I'm just going to forget it.
Right.
You know, and we've been fine. We've been buying formula and we've been breastfeeding.
Amen.
You know? So, yeah. And back to us just having that vulnerable conversation.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of, you know, things that were being said on Twitter. I stayed away from seeing many of those things because I was just like, the audience that understands the reason why we're doing what we're doing will get it. Many people are young, aren't married, aren't, you know, mothers, aren't breastfeeding. They may not get the, you know, everybody's just like triggered. What's triggering you really? Mm-hmm. You can't be triggered if you don't get what is being said. So
100%. Sorry, like I'm just here shaking and nodding because I completely understand what you're saying.
So I think that it's just good for people to know that conversations can be had. And it's just about right timing. So that time we had the conversation, the reason why it was sane was because it was the right time.
Right.
And also because we've kind of built up a system for, you know, arguments where we can say, hey, you talk now, I talk later. Do you understand what I've said? Yes, I understand. Okay, so if it's something you need to think about later, let's just pause and think about later, you know. So we try not to drag things and scream. Sometimes it does happen.
Mm-hmm,
but at that moment, there's one person always says, okay, you know what? Let's come back to this later.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we just forget about it and revisit it when everybody is calm and there is no pride, there's no ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was so fantastic. Everything that you just shared. I love that you and Akka being intentional about portraying Black love and marriages in a certain way, because you are right in saying that now marriages, we only see, you know, men are trash and marriages fail and marriage is a scam and, you know, all of that. You know what I'm talking about,
right?
Yeah. So you see all of that and then we don't really get to see marriages that are flourishing and thriving and people who are working towards it. And even when you kind of see those marriages that are working, quote unquote, we don't see the work behind it. Like we just see the pictures on vacation.
Yes.
So even for me as well, that's something that I've learned just in this conversation. Like, okay, because I'm also very big on marriage. And, you know, that's why I'm like, look, these are my kids. This is NATO. This is what we do. But maybe being a bit more intentional in showing the work behind it, because it requires so much work and it's uncomfortable and it's hard. So I cannot listen. That conversation is a masterclass. everyone, please make sure you go and watch it. And I love that you are being so vulnerable with your struggles with breastfeeding, because people think, and I was one of those people who thought that breastfeeding is just something that just comes so naturally. I remember, like, I'm like you and Aka, I love to study. Like, if it's pregnancy, I was ready, or I felt ready for it. And then I had my son. That's my first child. I have three kids. So my son, I had him, and I thought, okay, so I'm going to do exclusive for 6 months, of course, you know, and then I'm going to puree all his foods and mash them by hand. And I'm just going to, you know, everything's going to be so awesome and amazing. And I struggled with breastfeeding as well. I actually became super depressed because I was struggling with breastfeeding. When I had my son, he, I don't know, like the latch wasn't quite right. So my, I would always have like bleeding, cracked nipples. It was horrible. So when I went home from the hospital, I thought, okay, let me give myself a break so that my nipples could heal and we'll do formula. But it just wasn't working. Like, you know, I put him to the breast. I'm in pain, and because I'm literally shaking, you know, and he too, you know, he can feel that anxiety. So he's crying, I'm crying, everyone is crying. It was horrible. And I remember I went to the hospital for like my 3-day check after I had the baby. And the doctor, a white man, asked me how, you know, how's the feeding going? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm still trying to get the hang of it. So in the meantime, I'm giving formula, like I'm trying to pump a little bit, but I'm in so much pain. So I'm just going to, so I'm just supplementing with formula. And he goes, well, you know, breastfeeding is something that you could do if you really wanted to.
Oh my God. He said that.
Yeah, that's what he said to me. And the thing is, it didn't sound like, Nato was right there with me, right, at the thing. So it was just like, okay, well, you know, But at that point in my mind, something just like broke.
Yeah, because it's basically saying like, you're not trying. I want to punch him right now.
Listen, like I had a nerve. I had a full mental breakdown in the hospital.
Oh my God.
Like I was crying and crying and crying. He had to leave the room. A nurse had to come. Because in America, they won't let you just leave if you're like obviously in hysterics.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't know if she's gonna harm this baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're gonna need you to calm down. I was crying. Like a nurse had to actually tell me, like, look, I get what's happening, but we need you to calm down, because if you cannot calm down, we will not let you leave with the baby. And that made me even cry. I was like, oh, they're going to take my baby away from me.
Yeah.
It's horrible. But that sent me into like a tailspin of depression. Like I just felt like I'm such a failure as a mother. The one thing that I'm supposed to be able to do naturally, I'm just not able to do. And it took me such a long time to get out of that. So watching that, when you're talking about triggering, it was triggering for me. Like, wow, you know, like I understood exactly what you were talking about. And it's difficult, you know, it's difficult, but I'm hoping that we can kind of normalize just, you know, fed is best. Breast is fantastic, but you know,
as long as baby's a happy baby.
If that baby's a happy baby, and let's just normalize that, because it's so tough. It's really, really, really tough. So regarding the conversation that you and Aka had, how do you feel about the general reaction to it? Because I know that my bro was getting dragged for his life, but it's funny, like, even though I know he was he got dragged a little bit, but a lot of people that I follow that are like married or have mother, they're like, oh yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah,
I thought that was a fantastic conversation. I learned so much from that. Wow, thank you guys. So How was your reaction to it? I mean, I know you just said that you weren't on Twitter, but I'm sure you got like the gist of
Yes, I definitely did. Mm-hmm. And if I knew, because I had no idea that video was actually out when I woke up in the morning.
Oh.
If I knew that Aka intended to post that video, because he was the one who posted the video.
Yeah.
He knew that there were tendencies of him being dragged, but he knew that this video would help someone or some people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I knew, I would have tried to convince him to edit it properly so he doesn't look like he's a complete mean person. But I think
I don't even think he came across like that. I don't think he did.
Some people did, because there were times where he giggled and everything. But I know my husband, right?
Right.
And the reason why I didn't break down crying and saying, you don't get me, yaddy, 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 was because I knew that if he really did understand, we wouldn't be here. Right. So I was just like trying my best to explain to him, for him to get it, so that he really gets it. Not so I can prove a point.
Right. You get.
So my that's why I was using every type of metaphor I could come up with. Mm-hmm. So he could, you know, just get the basics of, hey, my buddy, you know, I've forgotten that song. It says like, my buddy say no. He's saying yes.
Do you get, yeah, like, yeah.
My mind really,
telling me no.
Yeah, but my buddy say, you get, like, so I really wanted to do it, but my buddy was just like, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, a few days later, I actually even went back to my phone looking at my camera roll. And I noticed that there was a video that I made 2 days after I gave birth, and I pumped 60 ml. I was like, what? I was I was actually doing well. But there was no one around me to tell me that I was doing well. I just remember there was someone that I was like, you have to feed this baby. You have to, as if the pumping was even wrong. And, you know, he wasn't there when all these things were happening. Mm-hmm. He was only there when, you know, my aunt, who is a doctor, was saying that you have to try. So he just felt like, oh, Claire likes to give up quite easily. So right. Maybe if I push her some right. more, she can actually try. Okay, mm-hmm. Maybe if we do an Excel sheet of what you're eating, what you're drinking, put timetables of when you're drinking water, mm-hmm. maybe this will be better. But hey, I'd actually even done that already,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's because he didn't know. And so my reaction to the comments and everything people were saying was just, you know, they don't really know what's happening. And like I said before, the people who really get the point of the video, which is actually not really about breastfeeding,
mm-hmm.
it's more about like, hey, a woman can say, I love you. A man is hearing, I want you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about like us saying things and the other person hearing another thing. But at the end of the day, because men and women are quite different, we should reach a compromise or an understanding to get. So when I was seeing all the reactions, I was just like, okay, yeah, cool, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people were like, I'm so grateful. Till today, I still get messages of people saying, so happy about the work you people are doing. Of course, I did get lots of unsolicited, you know, breastfeeding advice,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, and I was just happy that people cared, but at the same time, I was like, can you get off my ass? Because mm-hmm. I'm fine, you know, mm-hmm. I'm actually doing
mm-hmm.
well,
mm-hmm.
you know, but at the same time, I think some things may not always look pretty. I don't know what my husband went and did on Twitter after, but I hear that he went ahead and, you know, made a YouTube video and mm-hmm. was saying his thoughts mm-hmm. about marriage and, hey, it's my wife's buddy. But it's also my body. Do you get, like, her body is mine and my body is hers, you know. So I have a right here to talk about her breastfeeding,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
I agree with that.
Yeah, I kind of struggle to agree with him. But because I know where he's coming from and it's biblical, right? Mm-hmm. And we're both Christians and we're trying to do marriage God's way.
Mm-hmm.
So forget pride, forget, you know, I'm a woman, you know, and you don't get it. Just the same, some people were saying it's just the same way you can't ask a man to bring out sperm right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has to go through a process, right? Mm-hmm. And even when he goes through that process, there's a likelihood that the sperm would have a baby, you mm-hmm. know, will make a baby. So we can't control our bodies to do certain things. And once we kind of understand that, the sanity of our partner is priority to what we think and what we plan, it makes everything better.
Mm-hmm.
I even went into motherhood not really prepared, but I was prepared for pregnancy, right? Mm-hmm. I was prepared till I pushed out the baby.
Mm-hmm.
When the baby came out, I was like, okay, great, level one done. What's next now? And then breastfeeding was almost instant, and I was just like, oh shit, do I need to watch a YouTube video?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do now? I don't know, it's not working, you know. I was freaking out, but at the same time, I was just like, I really need to catch a breath. And that's why it was so easy for me to go on a 3 days holiday, because mm-hmm. I was just like, guys, my sanity over anything else, because this baby will survive anyway.
Mm-hmm. You know? So, and the baby needs a sane mama to be able to, you know, thrive and flourish. So it's so funny. I was the same with you, super prepared through the pregnancy. But I don't know why breastfeeding is so immediate. Like, it's not like there's, I didn't expect it to be that fast. I don't know how to put it into words properly, but I remember I had my son. I brought him out, they cleaned him up, and they're like, okay, you know, you try and feed the baby. And so I was like, okay. So I was holding him and I was waiting for someone to bring like formula so I can feed the baby. So I was just holding him for like 20 minutes and then a nurse came. I was like, oh, have you fed the baby? I was like, no, I'm waiting for someone to bring formula. They're like, no, now, like, you bring out your breast now. I'm like, now? I had the baby 15 minutes ago. They're like, yes, now. I'm like, okay. Like, I didn't expect it to be that quick. I think, you know, once you have the baby, once the baby is here, things just kind of spiral so quickly and in a way that you cannot control.
Yeah.
But you said a couple of things that I wanted to touch on. So one, you had mentioned when you first had the baby, you pumped 60 ml in 2 days. First of all, that is unheard. I've never even heard that in my life. That is insane. Yeah. Well done to you. But you said that no one was around to tell you that you were doing a good job. And that is the story of motherhood, right? For the most part, it is a thankless job. Mm. For the most part. I mean, there's some times when you do get encouragement. And we hope that we marry spouses that can be like super encouraging. And I can see that Aka, you know, is super encouraging of you. But motherhood can feel quite lonely.
Yeah.
It can feel quite lonely, like, wow, there's no one around to tell me I was doing a good job.
Exactly. And I think even at that time, obviously, the first substance that comes out is colostrum, right? It's kind of weird in color. And at that point, I was looking at this thing, I was like, is breast milk not supposed to be white?
Yeah.
Why is this
so yellow? And
you know, so I was Googling and I couldn't really find the information that I needed. And showed my mom that, you know, the milk, and she was like, she doesn't know, maybe talk to the doctor, because in their time they were not pumping, so they don't know what the baby's drinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that
itself was just like, oh my god, my body is not doing things right. And then there was one clip that I saw where a woman was pumping milk and blood at the same time, so I was just like, oh shit, is my maybe this is what my body is doing. You know, so it's really, honestly, from the start, and I think the difference, what I was even thinking was going to help me, I was looking back, I was like, oh, if only the nurses, you know, put the baby on me when I gave birth. If only they didn't, you know, take away the baby from me. If only they forced me to breastfeed. If only. So I was blaming everyone for my inability to produce milk at the time. And, you know, when no one could tell me the 60 ml was right, I actually just stopped. And so my supply dropped drastically. We just went into formula every day for like 2 weeks. So I first time I got engorged, I was trying to, you know, ease myself, and once that was eased off, I struggled to have milk again. So I just freed, right? And kept on, you know, doing the formula. But then there were times that I would literally try different things. You know, they'll say, oh, lock yourself up with the baby for 3 days and feed the baby directly, whether the baby's drinking or whatever. It was so tiring.
It's exhausting.
You know, and so I just felt like I might as well just do formula and breast milk when I have breast milk. So I think that somehow I was blaming the Nigerian hospital for not being able to educate me, because I didn't have antenatal classes. They were not able to tell me and persist on, hey, this breast milk is actually important. So I didn't know up until my baby's, will I say, second immunization, that actually there were some things that I could have done that could have maybe helped me to keep up with the supply. But at the same time, I think that some people will actually do everything right. They would have the right latch. They would have, you know, the baby do skin to skin with them. They would have, you know, doctors and nurses give them the right help and aid, but they will still not be able to have milk.
Right.
So there really isn't a, you can't blame anybody really for breast milk. If you have it, you have it, you know. That's why it's called gold, liquid gold.
It is.
Gold is not popular. It's scarce, right?
So, that's amazing. Yeah. And then I remember something you said in that conversation. You said, because he was saying, you know, like, how do we solve the problem? Like, how do we? And you were like, well, the thing is, like, it's not really a we thing, though, is it? It is me. I'm the person who has to do it. There's nothing that's going to happen that's going to make you produce breast milk. You can't. I'm the only one who can do this. So it should be, it shouldn't be how do we, it should be how can you help me do this?
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with NATO about it as well, actually. Like, okay, you know what? Because it's true, you know, there are just some things that he does that I'm just never going to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. So when you say, oh, we, like, how do we, it almost like diminishes the situation for both of us. So we should try and be more supportive and just like, okay, well, it's not really a we thing, to be honest. It's this person that's doing this. So my role is to help them, because it's not like we is just like abstract, right?
Yeah.
Because it's really not.
Yeah.
It's really not. It's just me. So listen, go and watch this conversation on at Aka and Claire on Instagram so you can get the full gist of what it is we are talking about.
Yeah.
So my next question is this. Do you feel like you are a good mother?
I really wish my baby could tell me. Because in my mind, I'm doing everything that I can.
Good.
And that is enough. I think that I've had series of times in my life where I've easily slipped into depression.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, when I was in my second trimester, was when I actually, like, spiritually dealt with it, where I was like, no, I can't be here anymore. So bad that I would almost be suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how something very little can really escalate in my head. So I had to make an intentional decision to just do what I can. Forget what every other person's mommy is doing. Forget what every other person is saying I should do, right? If my baby is fine, she's pooping right, she's laughing, playing, she sees me, her eyes light up, you know, that is all that I want. So I think 2 months ago, after that time we spent with our manager, you know, just kind of relaxing, because it was supposed to be like a mini vacay when we were there, you know, trying to, you know, chill out during the Valentine period. And so
mm-hmm.
that was when, you know, I had the opportunity to have someone watch my baby
mm-hmm.
for the first time,
mm-hmm.
you know. And when I left that place after 2 days, I was like, I'm not going back to my house without a nanny.
Right.
No.
Right.
This is luxury.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking a nanny home.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made plans, got a nanny, and every time, you know, like I mentioned, that I hear her cry, but at the same time, sometimes I hear her cry and I'm just like, no, you're going to allow the nanny to do her job. You're going to sit here, polish your nails, relax.
Right. Because you know, you deserve it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just have to always make a conscious effort to just believe that I'm doing the best, you know. So, yeah, I think I am.
That's amazing. I'm glad to hear that. I think a lot of women really struggle with feeling like they're good mothers. So I love hearing you saying, well, you know what? I'm doing the best that I can.
Yeah, I mean, whose standard is it?
Right?
Well, yeah, there are some bad mothers, but
of course,
in terms of like some other, you know, other situations that we see on the news. But I mean, I think there is really there's not supposed to be someone saying, hey, you are a bad mother because you're not feeding your child breast milk,
mm-hmm.
or you're a bad mother because you have a nanny,
mm-hmm.
or because you're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think people can easily give you that title when they see you on Instagram looking glam and they're like, where's your baby? Why are you asking me where my baby is? You know, so they low-key kind of tag you a bad mother because you're already looking fine.
Mm-hmm.
So motherhood somehow is supposed to, in their mind, is supposed to look really dreadful.
Right.
It's supposed to, I mean, there's sometimes it's really is that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once in a while we glam ourselves up, but for the most part, like the baby looks all pretty with their headscarf and sock, and you're there in your PJs sweating,
looking
and
a hot mess,
right?
And that's what people equate with hard work. That's a hardworking mom. Look, exactly. That mom is wow.
And that's so annoying, honestly, because I actually want to feel the best and still have my baby feeling the best. Mm-hmm. And how can I do that without looking like I'm enjoying life and I have a baby?
Exactly. Yeah. So let's normalize minding our business, please. Right? Don't be asking, like, where's your baby? Listen, I'm in the streets right now. Yeah, don't ask me about my baby. Thank you so much for sharing that. So I know you've only been a mom for 4 months.
Yeah.
But the title of this podcast is Mom's Worst Day. So can you tell me about your worst day so far as a mom, or a particular instance where you felt you had failed as a mom?
I think when it was the fourth day and she hadn't pooped and, you know, she was crying. I wasn't really sure if it was something that I had done, if, you know, it was the formula that I was giving her. And I was afraid to tell anyone that she hadn't pooped for 4 days because they're like, what have you done to this baby? Mm-hmm. You know, so I was internalizing a lot. And at that point, I was also going through struggles with my body personally. So I had an episiotomy for the birth.
Okay.
And it was quite unnecessary, honestly, because my baby was 2.7 kg.
Oh.
Yeah. So I wasn't healing well. And there were times where I would have to sit and breastfeed her. Even when she was being fussy, she hadn't pooped. I had to sit and breastfeed her. And this day, she decided she was going to be on my boobs for 2 hours. I literally was sitting down for 2 hours.
Oh no, that must have been hell,
honestly. And I have a brace on my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from, I've forgotten what the doctor called it, but it started from carpal tunnel and turned into something else where my thumb will literally freeze and hurt so bad, like very cringing pain. And
did
she
that
was,
start during pregnancy?
Yeah, that started at the third trimester.
Wow.
And this day, she only, I think the boob, my right boob was the only one that was kind of full. And so I had to put her head on there for 2 hours. I was sitting on my bum and I was just like, what the heck? You know, And after that day was over, I literally just told my husband, let's go to a hotel. And we went there for lunch and I just said, hey, I want to really scream right now, because I mean the hotel was kind of empty, you know? So I just went shouting, you know, to the air, because it's just like I have so much anger and pain that I want to address first before I address my physical body, because the inside is paining more than the outside.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and that was literally, I will never forget that day, that 2 hours. Oh no, it was horrible. Let's not even talk about what was happening with my pum pum. Worst, honestly. So yeah.
Wow. Like, that must have been so much pain, because it's pain everywhere.
Yeah.
Boob, arm.
Back.
Like, because you're sitting. Yeah. Oh no.
Look,
No. Okay, that one was
and
bad.
And then my feet were still swollen. So trying to, you know, stand up afterwards, honestly, no.
Wow. Well, to the glory of God, you're still alive and you're still
well.
Here with us. You're well. God is good.
Yeah.
At the end, it'll be worth it when she's graduating from Harvard,
like,
you know.
You know what I suffered for you?
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
How dare you talk back at
How
me?
How dare you?
In your life. I can't wait to use all those phrases.
Oh, no. Me too. I can't wait. I really, really cannot wait. I think there was something that happened. I think I was crying to my mom because I was just so frustrated. I can't remember what it was now. And she goes, oh, don't worry, that at your daughter's wedding, when they are playing Sweet Mother, you'll be the only person on the dance floor. You push everybody. I know this is my turn to dance. Like, your time is coming.
Yeah.
So that has been keeping me going. I'm
wow.
Yeah, I'm going to dance to Sweet Mother one day. Amen.
Amen.
So if you could go back to the day before you had your baby, what would you tell yourself?
I would tell myself that my baby is going to be 2.7 and the doctor must not cut me. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, the doctor must not on any circumstance cut me because it's 4 months and I can't even talk about sex because it's going from one problem to another. Yes, I've kind of healed, but at the same time, it's just difficult because I feel like the hospital failed me in some parts, you know, and it's not because I'm choosing to deprive my husband from that intimacy. It's just that, you know, if that cut didn't happen, maybe I would be fine.
Right.
You know? I'm currently having to do checkups and everything just because there's something just not right. I just feel like at times I'll look at myself in the mirror, I'll just be like, you're fine on the outside, but it feels as if something's just messed up on the inside, right?
Right.
I pushed out a baby. She came out fine, but you're not fine, right?
Right.
So if I could tell myself anything, it would be, babe, if you see that guy hold up a scissors, kick his face, because, bruh, that's going to literally scar you for God knows how long.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And, Wow, I wasn't expecting that. And so you've been going for like regular checkups and everything you said, and you're healing fine.
I'm having to take like some medication now.
Wow.
So up until the medication is over, then maybe I'll go another checkup and see if I'm actually fine. But it's just really sad.
I think. So I mean, the thing is, it definitely takes some time. So I've had to have stitches 3 times because I always tear.
Wow.
Each time, three different times. I've had stitches in America, London, and in Nigeria.
Oh my gosh.
So it really, it takes a while, believe me. Like for me to feel like I'm healed, like healed, it takes me around like 6-7 months.
Wow.
Each time.
Wow.
Each time. That's what it is for me. I mean, I feel like that's even a completely different conversation. I think we need to have mommy and intimacy. Like, okay, I've had a baby. How do I adjust to all of this? But yeah, it takes a while. So I'm saying this so that you also know that this is completely normal. Mm-hmm. It's fine. And the truth is, even if you didn't have a cut, you might still be feeling like, things are not quite. Because you have, your body has gone through so much. Down there has gone through
hell.
So it really takes some time to feel like, okay, I'm ready to do this. So you're not alone at all. Yeah. You're not alone.
And you know, it's just, I feel like people need to be more empathic. Like even in the, you know, in the hospitals, like you said, you had that experience. And honestly, it's just really sad because it's almost as if it's like that everywhere.
Right.
You know? Even when I went for my checkup like a few days ago, actually, and I was telling the doctor everything that I needed to, and he was just like, it's 4 months now. You should be okay. And I'm looking at him like,
sir,
dude, do you want to push out a baby out of your whatever? Do you want to try and see? Like,
why are we so, what is that?
Honestly.
Like, I'm telling you, this is how I'm feeling. I'm going through something. And you're telling me, really?
Yeah.
It's 4 months. Shouldn't you be okay by now? Are you like, sir? And you see, that thing is not just like, because my experience with my doctor was in America. Right. Oh, the big, perfect America.
And it was a male doctor. Mine too was a male doctor. So I don't know if it's a men thing, you know. They're in the field, but they don't really get it.
Right.
You know, but some doctors that can get it and are actually empathic because I think that's what makes them different.
Right.
So if you're a woman out there and your doctor is a guy and he's saying things that are hurtful, just forget it, honestly, because he doesn't get it.
Right.
Yeah.
He just doesn't. So it's funny you said that because now I'm just, I don't know that I'm having any more kids. 3 is fine. But I'm definitely now trying to be intentional and looking for a female doctor. I want that. I just feel like the experiences I've had, I just need someone who gets it. I need to be able to talk to someone and they understand what I'm saying, because that empathy, it goes such a long way.
Long way,
it
honestly
goes such a long way. And it's really just the difference between, I'm already, you know, treading a very thin line, just trying to manage my emotions. Yeah. And I need someone to just help me because you say the wrong thing and it'll just set me off. Mm-hmm. And no one benefits from that. So doctors, please just try and help us. We're already going through so much. Just try and be a bit more empathetic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So we're almost at the end. I have one more question. So I'm obsessed with affirmations, Bible verses. I try and find one every day and reflect on it and say it to myself throughout the day, right? And my affirmation today is, I am exactly what my child needs. What does that mean to you?
It means that breast milk or no breast milk, my child will benefit from me. It means that I have so much love to give, and that's what my child needs. It means that just my presence here, because I mentioned that every time that I get really sad or depressed, it could easily lead to suicidal thoughts. And just my presence here, just breathing this air, you know, is what my child needs.
Amen.
Yeah, so... That's what that means. That's beautiful.
Thank you. I know, right? Like, I saw it and I was like, oh, yeah. Like, and then I thought of you and I was like, oh, I think that you would hear that and you'd be like, okay, this is something that I can connect to and hold on to.
I'm actually trying not to get too emotional. My mascara is not waterproof, but honestly, like, that really hit me in a different way. Like, just literally thinking about what you just said, I'm exactly what my child needs. Whew.
Oh, don't make me cry. Hey. Oh, there are tears in the studio. Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, that's why I really wanted to do this. I just want to be able to have these conversations because it really does feel so overwhelming and it can really feel so lonely. I hope this helps someone.
I hope so too.
It's helped me, just this conversation, having it with you.
I'm learning.
Thank you. So yes, I think... that is it. Is there anything you're working on at the moment that you'd like to talk about or something we could watch out for?
Definitely. Working on so many things.
Talk to me.
Well, so I have sort of planned an exhibition for myself this September.
Okay.
And that's because I told myself that I'm not going to be just sitting at home with this baby because that will also trigger some of that experience that I've had, which is just making myself feel like I shouldn't be existing because I'm not working.
Right.
So I planned one. I haven't booked the space yet, but I'm working towards an exhibition and it's more about my thoughts.
Fantastic.
So I'm just going to be making paintings. I finally stretched out the canvases.
I saw in your stories.
So I'm going to be working. I'm working on some fashion projects as well. So there's some brands that I'm designing collections for. So it's
amazing.
Just two brands right now. So that's it.
Two brands. Okay. Yeah. So there's
Nadi Walk.
I love it. I love seeing a mom who's, listen, go get your paper. I love it. And then I like that you are also trying to stay engaged for your mental.
Because
just being at home, it can be,
this
is great. So two collections and then of course the exhibition coming up in September. We're going to be looking out for that.
Yes.
In the meantime, everyone, please make sure you follow her at Claire Idera.
Yes.
Follow their family page. That's her and Aka and Claire. They're also on YouTube. Like there's so much you can learn from them. Like, and they're so fun and interesting and both beautiful to look at.
Oh my god, thank you.
Beautiful. I mean, I can't even imagine what you said. This baby is like,
and
like, I can't even imagine. Like, I'm just on standby because I know she's going to be gorgeous. So thank you so much for coming on. This was awesome.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening, everyone. Until next time, bye.
Bye.